We're not a monolith, but many Black people will tell you when Dave Chappelle walked away from a $50 million contract with Comedy Central back in 2005, a lot of us, including poet and writer Saeed Jones, watched in admiration. Chappelle was making a statement. He said in interviews that he felt like maybe white people were laughing at his jokes and skits about race for the wrong reasons. Walking away from a contract worth millions of dollars was a show that he was free. Which is why, as a Black gay man, Saeed Jones has felt increasingly upset by the comedian's insistence on making jokes about queer people in the name of creative freedom. Chappelle's latest Netflix special, The Closer, has become a straw for Saeed and many others. Transgender employees at Netflix are reportedly planning a walkout over the network's airing of the special. Jones recently wrote about all of this in a piece for GQ titled Dave Chappelle's Betrayal. And Saeed Jones joins us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, Tanya. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. You're a longtime Dave Chappelle fan. He's been making jokes like this for a while. What was it about these recent statements that was a breaking point for you?
When I think of Dave Chappelle's comedy, the incisive way he would go after culture was liberating, right? It felt like he helped me break into ideas that I was struggling to name. But for the last few years, I've just felt like one joke, one punchline, one special at a time, more and more alienated from this person that I've just admired for so long.
You write that it's also annoying to watch these specials, as if you can tell your queerness to chill in another room mm-hmm. while you watch The Closer mm-hmm. in peace. Mm-hmm. How do you reconcile the Chappelle you thought you knew with the man that you see right now?
I don't have the luxury as a Black queer person of living in the past. At least 38 trans people in the United States have died as a result of violence just this year. And it's actually worse than the statistics from last year in 2020, right? And I say that to say that, you know, as I'm watching this fixation and this, and it's not just Chappelle, it makes me think of people like DaBaby, who he defends in the special. I'm just like,
the
stakes
rapper,
are really high.
DaBaby.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. rapper, right. Like, things are really bad and, in fact, incredibly dangerous. And I don't know, even in Ohio, where I live and Chappelle himself lives, you know, our governor just signed a law that allows medical practitioners to refuse service to LGBT patients.
During his set, Chappelle made the joke that, quote, we Blacks, we look at the gay community and we go, look how well that movement is going. That joke got a lot of laughs from a primarily Black audience in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And this hit you particularly hard, in part because of what you're saying about those numbers that we know, specifically mm-hmm. about people of color who identify as queer and the violence that they experience every day.
That joke in particular, when he say, we Blacks, look at the gay community. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, later in the show, he mentions like, oh, I love the Stonewall gays. You know who one of the main Stonewall gays was? A Black trans woman. You know what I mean? There are countless Black people who were also queer. This has always been true. It feels insulting to watch someone say something that is so ludicrous, you know? And I mentioned Raquel Willis. She's a writer and trans activist, a Black trans woman, in my essay. But she points out that this tendency that Chappelle has to activist most queer people are white allows him to sidestep the fact that a lot of violence that Black queer people are dealing with, you know, whether that is harassment, whether that is actual physical violence and harm, is coming from our own Black people, you know? And so it was really frustrating to watch Dave Chappelle try to step around reality in an attempt, I feel, to kind of pit all of these different minority groups against one another, like to try to pit my gayness against my Blackness, which is just not going to happen.
In your piece, you tell us this story about a night hanging out with your friends, all of whom represent different aspects of queerness. And one of your friends was catcalled and basically threatened. I want to get to this point a little bit more that you're making. In this case, you're saying Chappelle's jokes are not just jokes. I mean, they're reinforcing homophobia. And I want to get more specific, homophobia within Black communities.
Mm-hmm. And transphobia in particular, the friend that they were catcalling, as you know, my friends and I were crossing the street, is a Black trans woman. So that was also an added layer. Yeah, it's incredibly hurtful. I believe in creative freedom. I believe in wild humor. You know, every time I'm in a car with friends, I make them listen to one of Paul Mooney's albums or one of Richard Pryor's albums or Mom's Mabley. I believe it's important for our comedians to be able to challenge us and push us forward. But just as any Black person will tell you, we know intuitively when a white person is veering into a space that makes us feel unsafe, uncomfortable, uncool. We know what that is like, right? We don't have to wait to see the cross burning and the white hoods to know when something is off, right? Queer people have that same instinct. And I can tell you that watching the way Dave Chappelle and people defending him, because that's been an interesting experience since the essay's been published, the language they use, it's exactly the language used by our high school bullies, by men on the street that are targeting Black trans women, you know? So I'm like, you might be trying to act like this is some, I don't know, water cooler debate, you know, joking about J.K. Rowling and TERFs. But I'm here to tell you that this is very real for a lot of people. And unfortunately, it's not funny.
Oh, well, okay. I've been following on Twitter. I've been seeing how you have responded to people who are defending Dave Chappelle. But what you're saying here is interesting about how you still consume Paul Mooney and Richard Pryor. And many folks will say, including Netflix co-CEO Ted Sarandos, who defends Chappelle, they will say this is artistic freedom and it's different for stand-up. Why is Chappelle the exception here? And what does that say about how speech is protected in comedy?
Right. I mean, you know, there's some things I do want to point out. I never said Chappelle shouldn't have a show. I never said that he, you know, shouldn't have a Netflix special. You know, it's so ironic that Chappelle and his fans, and he has many, many fans, seem to keep coming at queer people saying, oh, you just can't take a joke. You don't have a sense of humor. To which I would say, oh, so an essay written by a poet has got you this upset? If I can't take a joke, it sounds like you can't take criticism. You know, I mean, I think any real comedian, anyone who's really still has their feet on the ground and are living in reality, and frankly, I don't know if that's the case for Dave Chappelle anymore, I think understands that hecklers and pushback and being called out, you know, on jokes that don't quite land, that is a part of the tradition.
Chappelle has kind of said the closer is all about saying his piece. After this, there won't be any more specials. How do you square with that? I mean, if you could sit down and have a conversation with Dave, what would you say?
I guess if I got to sit down in front of him, the first thing I would say is, you know, there are gay Black people, right? You know, there are Black trans people, right? You understand that, right? And I would need him to look me in the eyes and acknowledge that, because I feel like that disconnect is incredibly hurtful, you know? And it's incredibly significant to, I think, the problem. And there are a lot of issues. I mean, at one point, he makes a joke about Black people beating up Asian Americans. You know, I'm sure that Asian American writers might have some strong feelings about that aspect. You know, but for me, yeah, if I got to talk to Dave, I'd go, you know, I'm here, right? You know, I exist. You know, I have gay cousins and gay, trans cousins and many people who seem to have been erased because we are inconvenient for the point that you seem so dead set on making. Tanya, it felt like being at a cookout and you see a cousin or uncle that you know has been through it. They've been through the ringer, you know what I mean? But you've rooted for them over the years and you see them and you cross over and you're like so happy to see them and they look like they're doing well, they're cleaned up, they have their act together, and they call you a slur. That's what it felt like, you know? And so it's interesting when people say like, oh, you've never really gotten his work. You've never really liked him. Or, oh, you don't actually have a sense of humor. You don't laugh enough. I'm like, no. In fact, it's hurtful because I'm a fan of him. It's hurtful because I was laughing just moments ago. You know, that's the betrayal that I was trying to point to.
Saeed Jones is a poet and contributing writer for GQ. His latest piece is called Dave Chappelle's Betrayal. Saeed, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you so much, Tanya. It was good talking to you.